You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from New York, it's a show that's wishing you from the bottom of my heart, from deep down inside the log that I live in, a happy Groundhog Day. It's first
you
things first.
You get it,
first.
Bro? Yes. He used to be the Punxsutawney Phil of football.
You used to be till I took
that. Yeah.
Are you? No, you didn't. And really? First of all, we're battling about who's a fictitious football predicting
Groundhog.
Today, are the 49ers trying to get in the referees' heads? And is Bosa headed to the board? Meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh goes heedles press conferences and promises multiple championships.
Yeah,
does that mean Harbaugh is headed to the board? And finally, LeBron calls out Embiid's critics and podcasts as a medium.
Yeah, I told you. I've been right all along on that.
He's not headed to the board.
No.
Not headed to the board. No. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wildes. Nick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a take.
A lot from LeBron, including LeBron's agent announcing the Lakers won't be trading LeBron, which was quite the power move.
I guess he's more than an agent.
Darn it.
Malika had a deal done.
Away it goes. We start with America's team. The Patriots, you might ask? No, I tried that. Didn't stick. The Cowboys? Well, maybe. The Chiefs? Yes, according to Bob Costas.
Wow.
Take a listen.
I think the Chiefs now, it can safely be said, are America's team. The Dallas Cowboys have had that moniker for a long time, and they're still a glamour franchise, but they haven't been to the Super Bowl since the mid-90s.
Okay. Have the Chiefs officially usurped the Cowboys as America's team?
Well, I love Bob Costas, absolute legend, but no. All right. The Chiefs are the new hotness.
New hotness.
And they'll remain hot throughout Patrick Mahomes' career or prime, as long as he's great and they're continuing to chase Super Bowls and be in contend for Super Bowls. But they are not America's team, Nick. I hate to say it. When Mahomes is gone, nobody outside of Missouri and Kansas will care about the Chiefs.
Ouch.
All right? The Dallas Cowboys are still America's team. Here we are 29 years later, 29 years after their last Super Bowl, and we're still talking about them virtually every day. 2 days ago, we led the show with them, even though they had the worst playoff loss of their history. Yeah. All right, so the Cowboys are America's team. The Chiefs, Nick, are like the Jordan Bulls. The Jordan Bulls ran America, right? I mean, it was a circus for that decade or so, right? That's what Mahomes and the Chiefs are. But once Jordan was gone, yeah, there were a couple years where it's like, well, are the Bulls going to get together? Oh, they got Eddie Curry. Oh, they got Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, don't but disrespect Tim Floyd or Chicago Bulls.
Right. I mean, we don't care about the Bulls
Correct.
Anymore.
It's true.
And so there are three America's teams in my view.
Okay,
in one in each sport.
Yep.
In baseball, it's the Yankees.
Correct.
In basketball, it's the Lakers. And in football, it is the Cowboys because they are the glamour
correct.
Franchises and they got fans throughout the country.
I agree with almost everything you said. I'm going to add a few other layers as to why. And listen, we all love and respect Bob Costas. I don't think I've ever said it on the air, but I'll say it now. He was wildly influential in me becoming me when I was a little kid. I love the man.
Oh,
but he's dead wrong on this. and so they should be careful
what you wish for,
they should be, but they're not going to be. So for a number of reasons. One is, kind of off to the side, there is all of a sudden this weird kind of gross political polarization about the Chiefs because of Travis and Taylor, and maybe 20% of the country just being like, I hate them. Right. So like that immediately makes it difficult for them to become America's team. The other reason is because they don't have a great history like Dallas did. Dallas had been good throughout large swaths of NFL history. The Chiefs went to a Super Bowl 1-4, right, and then were not there again. Now, they had decent regular seasons.
They're pretty
seasons.
Good way back.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Super Bowl, yeah, in the AFL era. And the, right. Yes, but they have no – they didn't have any – like a basis of fans across the country like the Cowboys did when the triplets came in, because you had people that were Staubach and Landry fans, right, and the branding of it. Also – the Cowboys in the 90s had a real rival, and I think that made it more compelling and made it more of a nationwide story, because you had the Niners, another glamour franchise. Mm-hmm. They were playing them in the conference championship game every year. The Niners beat them, and then they won a Super Bowl. Then the Cowboys came back and got their third, so there was a better storyline to it. And if it were just about success, the Patriots would have been America's
right.
team at one
they
point.
Were never,
and I know we joked right. about it, but and the Patriots maybe could have been, but because of Belichick's kind of surliness and not that's embracing right. it, and because people turned on them not for political reasons, but because of the cheating, right. they were never going to be. And so, and I'm not trying to overblow the cheating, but for some people, they were like that.
It made them kind of like the bad guys.
Yeah, the exactly right. And
they
so
didn't come
I
off as like
here's
them.
What I do where I think Bob might be right eventually. I do wonder, depending on how long Patrick can keep this going, if they become America's kids team. If for everybody who
well,
had like
kids right
were young
now,
kids, and but in 10 years, when young kids are going to be adults. You know what I mean? And so I do wonder if he, because Patrick is so exciting and right. they're so good, that I wonder if in that regard maybe the Taylor thing can also help, where you bring in maybe young kids that are big pop culture or, you know, music fans. So yeah. I think eventually
and they
it
will
happen,
Nick have but, they will have kids, those young kids you're talking about growing up throughout the country, who are Chiefs fans, and then their kids become Chiefs fans, yep. and all that. Pittsburgh was never America's team, as great as they were.
That's
with
right.
The great.
Can
dynasty.
I push back on that? Because I saw this with Brady. When Brady went to the Bucks, there's Bucks jerseys in New England because you just follow the guy. And I don't know if that's a generational shift. Like, oh, I grew up, you know, rooting for Mickey Mantle, and I became a Yankees fan of my kid. Like, I understand that, but I wonder now if. I'll give you an example of the biggest star in America right now, LeBron. Right. I'll ask random people if they like the show. A few and far between, but every once in a while I run into somebody. And I say, well, who do you like in basketball? And a lot of times they'll say, I'm a LeBron guy.
Right.
They don't say the Lakers or the Knicks. They'll be like, I'm a LeBron guy. And then sometimes they say, I'm a Nick Wright guy. Which is a proxy for being a LeBron. So I wonder if it's just Mahomes will be independent.
Yeah,
Kansas
but
City.
I think that happens more often in basketball because guys move around,
right.
and because the league markets their stars the way it does. I understand that Favre, Manning, and Brady all, you know, Rodgers too now moved at the end.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. right.
But they and so there's no scenario where Patrick Mahomes bounces from team to team the way LeBron did. Mm-hmm. So he will be, to me, inextricably tied with the Chiefs the way Brady is. You were saying this on Twitter, Wilds, that when people were talking about the Chiefs dynasty versus the Patriots, they were bringing up the seventh ring somewhat
yeah.
often, even though the Patriots don't
oh,
have
yeah,
that.
Right.
They
but
feel
Tom
like
does.
Ownership.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. He's their guy.
We took
yeah,
an L
great.
There.
Yeah.
The final note, Chiefs did set the AFC Conference Championship ratings record. 55.47 million people watch it. And second place was 13 years ago. So it's not just like, well, there's a new media environment. It's another.
Mahomes helps. He's so exciting and fun to watch.
Yeah.
People want to tune in.
Okay.
No doubt.
Success of this show.
It's
all Mahomes. All right. We are 8 minutes and 38 seconds into the program, which means it's time to talk about whether or not Brock Purdy is a game manager. This time, it's Jerry Rice weighing in.
Again.
Take a listen.
Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, supposed to be that, I guess that game manager? That's what they keep saying. But I feel like he's that elite quarterback, and I think, you know, we have a chance.
What? Every time there's a Brock Purdy compliment.
No, I mean, I'm not even going to gloat anymore over these elite, awesome athletes saying Brock Purdy's elite.
What a Super Bowl win make Purdy elite.
And look, you're going to scoff, but I'm consistent. I will say no. And remember, what did I say for Dak?
Brew is on the record on this regarding Dak. That's my first note.
There you go. Right. Because I said Dak needs multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
All right. And here's why I'm saying it. Because it's
well
nuanced.
Done, bro.
He thought he was going to get me.
I didn't think I was going to get you, but it was on the board that I might get you. And I might have even had the producers pull a piece
I'm
of
tape. I'm surprised you don't,
guys don't
see.
Need, you don't even need to run it. Brew covered his
I
own
knew
bases.
It.
Go well, ahead.
I knew it was coming.
Go ahead.
Nick, I believe when a guy is elite, when you're elite, virtually everybody agrees you're elite.
Yes.
Right? Like, it might not be a full 100%. But it's 90, mid-90s, something.
It's the old Mad Dog test for are you a Hall of Famer. If you have to think about it, no. That's what Mad Dog Russo would always say. Like, if you have to think about it, no, you're not. But go ahead.
I think there's four elite quarterbacks. And you might disagree, but I think Mahomes, obviously, Josh Allen, Burrow, and Lamar.
That is exactly
right. Now, people can bring up playoffs, but we're talking regular season, career. Mm. Those are the four elite guys, and obviously Burrow has to stay healthy. Then Dak, we talked about Dak. C.J. Stroud, we got to see it for another year. I mean, it looks like we're on the same page. Now, what I do think about Purdy is if he wins this Super Bowl, I think some guys grow into being elite. Mahomes, elite right away.
Brady did.
Elway, Brady, you know. Brady grew into Montana, Drew Brees. They all grew into being elite. I do believe, especially if they win the Super Bowl, but I'm leaning this way whether they win it or not. I think Brock Purdy is going to grow into being elite to where 3, 4, or 5 years from now, he's just viewed as an elite guy.
Top five quarterback in that vicinity.
Because right now he's tier two. I mean, if you have those guys with Mahomes, if you don't want to separate Mahomes. So, yeah, you know who else cross sport? Not similar in terms of the way they play or anything like that. Is Jalen Brunson elite?
Oh, my God. Ramsey's going to brush the stage.
We would say no. But he is having a fantastic season.
The club superstar
and he may
test.
Grow. He's not in club superstar. No. But could he grow? Could he grow into that?
Yeah.
Possibly. And that's where Purdy is.
So the Brew, well, just brilliantly done.
Every little booby trap set for me.
I would never. You're my partner. I'm happy. I'm disappointed when you flip-flop. This was great. But also, I wrote this down. My elite quarterbacks, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, and then I had .. with question marks with Stafford and C.J. Stroud as the next two guys. But I don't think you can really have
Herbert more elite talent.
But not there yet.
Stop
and
with
so,
that.
So, but here's talent. So here's what so Wilds. I'm so glad you did that. This is actually working out perfectly because everybody knows where I stand on this.
Yeah.
And on and off the air, I can't figure out where you stand.
On what? Herbert?
No, Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would like to ask you, I'm going to give you Purdy or for a quarterback.
Oh.
And just say who you think, do you think Purdy's elite with a Super Bowl win?
Can I, before I answer it, and then I'll play the game.
Yeah.
Because I understand, I have been wrestling with my own inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Because seated next to Mr. Inconsistency.
Ooh, excuse me?
And
seated next to what?
Mr. Consistent.
Jesus.
Sorry, I was talking about myself.
God. Might as well spit in my face.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Brew is occasionally inconsistent, but a lot of times
Because
you got to look at the data.
I am
cogent analysis. I've wrestled with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get to where I'm at on Brock Purdy. Part of me thinks that Brock Purdy is like an artist who only works, it does one thing. You know what I'm saying? You go to a museum and it's like, oh, he can do that. Like, hey, can you paint a portrait? You're like, nah, I don't really do portraits. I got to do this kind of
thing.
And those are, there are some great people.
Yeah, but like, but he's not able to do other stuff. So that's when we play like the trading game. But he won't, he wouldn't do well drawing a portrait because he just does his own unique Brock Purdy thing.
I think that's fair. Like, I as much as I like Purdy, and I think you guys all agree, he's way better than Garoppolo.
Yeah.
But I'm not totally positive that if he just went to a bad team, that he's turning them around and they're going to be great.
But it also doesn't matter. That's the weird part of it.
So that is where that the it doesn't matter is where we have a fundamental disagreement on how we like to consume, discuss, and think about sports.
Okay.
I actually think it's what matters the most because I am really fascinated in the ultimate team game with trying to figure out how good individual pieces are, because it gives me, in my brain, it's one of the reasons I get so, and we're going to talk Belichick later, one of the reasons the quarterback wins thing and the count the rings thing going to the NFL is so bothersome for me is because then you're almost tied to the idea that if a coach and a quarterback were together, for, like Brady and Belichick were, they both must end up being the greatest of all time. Because they both have the records. You understand what I mean?
Sure.
When, even if, and now they both do happen to be arguably the greatest of all time. But even if somebody, it was 80-20 in one guy's favor, if we're just going to give them both the quarterback wins, the count the ring stuff. So I am fascinated with the idea of, okay, how good is the guy in this system? But also, how good is he independent of it? How good would someone else be in this system? A guy, you mentioned Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I believe, it to the marrow of my bones, that if Justin Herbert had played the last 5 years in San Francisco, that we might not be talking about it, the Chiefs being the team of the era, that it might be two, or maybe the Niners would have been overwhelming in the NFC. And that would make us look at Herbert so differently as opposed to a guy who hasn't reached his potential.
Systems matter.
And so that's what I was trying to ask you.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think's better? Not who would you rather have, who do you think's better? I'll give you some names. Brock Purdy or Justin Herbert?
I mean,
exactly. Brock Purdy or C.J. Stroud?
The same reason that we like, well, C.J. Stroud didn't have all the weapons.
I want to see Stroud a little bit.
Brock Purdy or Jordan Love?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy or Joe Burrow?
Well, Joe Burrow.
I'm taking a little college resume.
Burrow had great. You take Burrow, but Burrow's had he emerged when he had Jamar Chase and all these great weapons.
Burrow's got a bunch of great weapons.
Joe Mixon is a really good running back.
Let me ask one more: Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts?
I like Jalen still.
Okay,
but that's an argument.
So
that's a legit argument.
Right, but so the reason I was doing this exercise is because I do feel like a lot of people who are looked at as Brock Purdy supporters think they are a degree off from where I am, which is if you actually put pencil to paper and rank the quarterbacks, which I did the other day, I have him 15th. I think if you did it, you would have him 13th. And yet this gulf exists.
But you know this, Nick, from in your listen,
yeah.
If probably 6 to 13 is in flux. Like Jalen Hurts, had he won that Super Bowl last year, and they were close, everybody would have said he's elite. And then look at this year. Like, we're not saying he's elite right now. Now, he may show us he is down the future, but we're not saying that. And that there's, other than those four, that this is where we're at. Everybody's kind of, so next year, the fifth best quarterback might be somebody that's 10th this year. Like I said, to me, Purdy's emerging. You know what's an interesting one for you to think about is Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner, 3 fantastic years with Mike Martz in St. Louis. And after that, totally fell off. Had the 1 year in Arizona where they went to the Super Bowl. Didn't win it. But they were 10-7.
Yeah, but I
he's got a losing record outside of those 3 years for his whole career.
I think
he's in the Hall of Fame.
I think
elite,
without that Arizona year, I think his Hall of Fame case would have been really tricky.
Now, he had two MVPs,
even with
too.
The two MVPs.
All
right, so the question for you before we move on real quick. I'm going to save it for next week.
Please.
Okay?
Yeah.
Next week, tune into the show, and we're going to nail that question. Finally, let the mind games begin. The 49ers want to remind everyone of this non-holding call in the last 49ers-Chiefs Super Bowl. Nick Bosa and Jed York not so quietly telling the referees and the narrative makers to be on the lookout. Take a listen.
Taylor's, I think, leads the NFL with a ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch him?
They hold a lot.
I remember Nick Bosa getting held on his third long and that not getting called.
Okay, so now before you go crazy.
I'm not going crazy.
This is from Josh. The Chiefs O-line had 20 holding penalties in the regular season.
Yes.
Most in the NFL.
Yeah, that's so really? What is that?
Just said.
Really? How many in the Super Bowl? Jed York's whining about 5 years later. Grow up, man. Whining about a non-call. And by the way, ask any of the internet refs, offensive linemen, penalty experts. That thing he's whining about from the Super Bowl 5 years ago was not a hold. But I also would like to take this opportunity to set the record straight on some things. Because the toxic cesspool that is the internet that turned this football season into people just being missed penalty hawks and this idea that, oh, the fix has been in for Kansas City for years is nonsense. First of all, since Mahomes has gotten there, show me the data. There has not been a single year that the Chiefs were even above average in penalty yardage differential. His first year and this year, second worst, meaning they had more penalties called against them than they had called in their favor. Now, you might say, well, that's because the Chiefs commit a bunch of penalties, but I'll debunk that in a moment. But where did this idea...
Turn that into a positive somehow. You're a highly penalized team?
Yeah, well, it's multi-layered that I will explain in a moment. Okay. But it's the idea that the refs are in the bag for Kansas City. The data doesn't back that up. So where did it start? With two accurately called penalties. One, you might not like it, but that is a flag in the NFL 100 times out of 100, right, except if it's Justin Fields, unfortunately. They let him get hit all as much as anybody in the league. And then the next game, a penalty that on the initial Fox replay didn't look good, and then on the actual replay looked obvious, and the guy, this one here, yep, and the guy admitted to after the game,
yes,
people said, well, the fix is in. And then could we debunk it this year? Well, I don't know. Could we have an egregious game-sealing missed call go against them? Okay, what was that, an outlier event, this missed call? Nope. Show me the Chiefs' opponent's penalties this season. Oh, the second fewest flags and the third fewest yards. So every team, when they play the Chiefs that week, amazingly, just stops committing penalties. That's a wild coincidence. And then you add to it, there have been two in the 12 postseason games that have been played. There have been two touchdowns wiped off the board due to penalty. Who did they both happen to? The Kansas City Chiefs. So this idea that that you need to pre-warn the officials because the fix is going to be in for the Chiefs is toxic internet nonsense. And the fact that Nicky Bosa and Jed York are trying to feed into it is pathetic.
Look, quickly, I don't agree that the fix is in. I'm with you on that. That's ridiculous. All right, the fix is in. Jed York, yeah, 5 years ago, who cares? This is a fact, though, Nick. Jawan Taylor,
yes,
led the league in penalties.
No doubt.
He had seven more penalties than the second nearest guy. All right. Jawan, there are four guys that led the league in holding with seven. Two of them are Chiefs, Jawan, yeah, Taylor and Trey Smith. So, I mean, Nick Bosa, I don't mind him saying, he's stating a fact. Jed York, yeah, and even if they're playing some gamesmanship, hey, Phil Jackson used to do it all the time. You know, put it in the referee's ears, make them think about it. But I'm with you. I don't think the fix is in, but they do hold.
No, but
these two linemen on that right side hold.
And by the way, Donovan Smith, the left tackle, historically has got a lot of holding penalties. He missed games this year. That part's true. But the idea that the Chiefs get every flag and every whistle, which is just rampant across the NFL universe, that idea, the facts don't back it up. Luckily, though, and most importantly, Dusty, the board, please. We now finally have some legitimate Niners on the board.
Okay.
I've got so Jed York. I didn't even have the, you know, the, this is Jed York, if you guys didn't know who he was.
Got it.
We just did a crying emoji. Okay. Give me a break, man. Grow up, Jed York. And then Nicky Bosa. I understand. So, Nicky Bosa, you're an excellent player. I get it. The crying about stuff from years ago I could do without. You're also on the board. Mm-hmm. Bobby Stroop, Mahomes' trainer, has already made sure Patrick's aware of all this. So don't you worry about it. There it is. Two Niners, including team ownership, on the board.
Pretty good. The board is looking great.
A lot of eliminations. And now we got the Jed, Nick. Don't worry, some other people are coming.
Pretty good.
My guess would be Fred Warner will say something.
Really?
That's my guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Val Kelsey?
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
As we celebrate Black History Month here on FS1, I'd like to recognize Alice Coachman. Born in the segregated South in Albany, Georgia, back in 1923, Coachman faced numerous challenges to compete in organized sports, both based on her gender and the color of her skin. Despite this, Alice went on to break multiple high school and college high jump records throughout her youth. She was also the only American woman to win a gold medal in the 48 Olympic Games. Upon returning home, Coachman became the first Black female athlete to endorse an international product as she became a spokesperson for Coca-Cola. She was ultimately inducted into the National Track and Field Hall of Fame in 1975 and the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame in 2004. It's the exploits of great American athletes like Alice Coachman that should never be forgotten as we celebrate their accomplishments, not just here in February, but all year long.
Welcome back to the show. Jim Harbaugh, fresh off of a national championship appetizer, is hungry for the Super Bowl main course. Now, in the history of the NFL, only 13 coaches have won multiple Super Bowl rings. We might as well make that 14, because here comes Harbaugh and Herbert. Take a listen.
One thing I know is Los Angeles, Southern California, they respect talent, effort, and winning, and it needs to be multiple championships, and that's, we're going to be humble and hungry, but you know, that's our goal.
Okay, it's good to have goals. Yeah, talent, effort, and winning.
Yeah,
Southern California.
Yeah, that's.
I'm from the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
Hate it. All right, your reaction.
No, it's good to have goals and lofty goals.
Yeah,
like I would like to one day compete on actual Jeopardy. Not Celebrity Jeopardy, actual
Jeopardy.
There you
go.
Wilds would like to one day take over for Pat Sajak. Brew one day would like to win a cap roping competition, Cowboy Brew. We all have goals. We all have things we want to do. It doesn't mean they're realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just, the first step to winning a championship, he's talking about not a division championship, right? He's talking about like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you probably would want to win the division
Mike
first.
McCarthy.
So let's just see how the Chargers have looked compared to, you know, the Chiefs in the division. So the Chiefs have more playoff wins the last 3 weeks than the Chargers in the last 15 years. So they have some work to do. But luckily, the Chargers now, you know, have a real head coach and some stability. So let's just see how the division has looked since Mahomes gotten there as they have tried to chase him down. So it's been almost $2 billion in free agency. He's the 13th coach. They've beaten Mahomes 6 times in 36 chances. Actually, only 5 times in 35 chances because he missed one of those games. They have 0 divisional titles and 1 total playoff win. So that's everybody. And you can be like, oh, well, it's different because this is Jim Harbaugh. Well, since Mahomes got there, the Raiders hired a Super Bowl winning head coach in John Gruden. He's gone. And the Broncos just hired a Super Bowl winning head coach in Sean Payton. And he's moving off the quarterback that they were supposed to work together with. So I think the goal is nice. I think they are more likely to never win the division than they are to win a Super Bowl. And much less multiple. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have goals. And I like Harbaugh, but give me a break.
So when you were talking about participating in Jeopardy, you just wanted to win one show?
What? I don't need a Ken Jennings S dynasty.
But I think you'd want to win more than one show.
Well, ideally, sure.
Here's the thing with Jim is he's won everywhere he's been, right? He won at San Diego. He went to Stanford. He won there. He goes to the 49ers. They're 6-10. Next year, they're 13-3. Wins at Michigan, wins a national championship at Michigan. Michigan had been down for a long time, and there's obviously challenges coming into that division, but there were challenges when he was at San Francisco coming into that division. Seattle was very good at the time. Arizona had gotten a lot better, and a lot of people didn't think that he could do it there. So if you look at what his track record has been of turning programs around, I think it's pretty strong, and I think it speaks for itself. And those numbers are compelling. So if he does win multiple championships, that's going to be even more impressive. Yeah. Now, there's challenges, obviously, with Reed and Mahomes, and then you've got Sean Payton. There's all those things there. But Jim has shown a consistent track record to go into programs that have been down and turn them around. So I don't see why this is out of the realm of possibility.
I don't like it.
Neither do I.
I love
it. Oh, no.
This sends a message to everybody on that roster. We don't concede anything to the Chiefs. Yeah, they're great.
Hungry and
Mahomes
humble.
Mahomes is awesome. Right. But we don't concede anything. We're coming. All right? And here's the thing. When he got to Michigan, I don't think he said this. But had he said, we're going to win the national championship, we would have felt the same way. We could have drawn up the same historical data and said, Michigan has never won an outright championship, or at least not since the 40s. All right? And so how are they going to beat an SEC team? Yeah, you might win the Big Ten and beat Ohio State. Stop thinking you're going to beat Alabama or Georgia. And they went ahead and did it. And look, I think he's looking at Justin Herbert. I mean, if you watch more, I'm sure you guys did more of the press conference. He was just loved Justin Herbert. He's saying, I took the Niners from 6-10 to 13-3 in my first year with Alex Smith. I made a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick. Oh, I got Justin Herbert, an elite talent? It's on. So I love it.
All right. Here's a rule of the show. And it's a trickle-down effect from Mr. Consistency seated to my right. In general, this show has one mantra where we don't like empty promises. It's been true for multiple people arriving in new spots. When Aaron Rodgers said, that trophy looks lonely, we said, we don't like that. When Sean McDermott hung up the Super Bowl banner in the practice facility, we all said, we don't like that. When Sean Payton said the Jets are trying to win the preseason, we were like, yeah, Sean Payton. He's like, and I'll be pissed off if we don't make the playoffs. We said, no, we don't like that. But all of a sudden, this guy, because he went to Michigan and delivered a national championship
That's a big deal.
To you and your daughters, all of a sudden, we're like,
I got a lot of money for that championship.
When Micah Parsons says, I'm thinking about the Super Bowl, we say, think about the next play, Micah.
Yeah.
But why does he get a pass?
Because of his track record. Micah's playing for a team that hadn't been to the Super Bowl in 29 years. Harbaugh delivered in San Francisco.
He didn't. Hold on.
If we ain't got... I'm Wait, just saying,
he
they,
did not
they got
say.
There.
Wait
he
a
didn't
minute.
Win a Super Bowl,
Hold on. I like Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh a lot. I think he's a very good coach. But that what Coach described of his track record of winning by this standard is failure at every place
except Michigan.
No. If the standard is multiple, then yes. But say Michigan, no.
Maybe he'll go back to okay, and get a second one.
San Francisco, so he turned programs around and they overachieved, but it wasn't this. And I have been pals. Can we show the tweet? Jim Harbaugh and I have been mutual admirers of each other for 7 years. Thank you, Coach Harbaugh, which is why. I mean, this is a great tweet. This was weeks into this show existing, and Jim Harbaugh was watching
you
and sending out
Michigan
great tweets.
Back then?
No, this was actually about social justice, and I like Jim Harbaugh, which is why this is so painful. Dusty, the board.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to have to do it. Dusty, we need other side of the board.
The
Turn
board's
it around, please.
Appetite
this is
crazy.
For the first time. The 2024 board has our first edition.
What
Coach Jim Harbaugh, welcome to the division and welcome to the bulletin board. The Chiefs have real ammo already for next season. Multiple championships.
Wow.
Within the AFC West.
We'll hear it at the parade.
They don't have to win the division to get those multiple championships.
Okay. Dak Prescott. ran into the non-tomato can Packers, which ended his Super Bowl run. But the game is still on his mind, Brew. He tweeted out this morning. Just the program.
And turned off replies.
And there's no replies. You can either like it or retweet it. But don't ask me what it's about. And certainly don't criticize me. What do you make of this?
This strikes me as being, my niece tells me, like on Pinterest, they have vision boards.
Oh, we can manifest
things in the future. Yeah. So that's what it felt like. It's like he's manifesting a Super Bowl somewhere in his future. Maybe he's been on Pinterest with the free time that
I would have put it on
he's
Pinterest.
Had. And
I would have got it.
I mean, that would have been the logical.
I also would have thought he could have got some, you know, they could have done some mess with the graphics and made it next year's Super Bowl.
No, that would have been
the Cowboys.
You would have liked that all of a sudden?
No, I wouldn't. But I'm just saying, I'm at a loss. LeBron with the hourglass had me just befuddled. So I have no idea what this is. I don't know what in the world this is.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It's the Twitter version of Russell Wilson sitting in the box watching Brady and Mahomes. With Goodell,
right?
Basically, that didn't go well. No, I know that didn't.
But
it didn't remind me of it in that regard. Like he's going to ask to leave Dallas, but saying, "Gosh darn it, this is what I want. This is where I think I deserve to be. Where I should be. Deserves the wrong word, but where I should be right now, and I'm not." As additional motivation for him, it is. You know, it is odd, but I think that's the kindest reading.
I mean, Russ is career.
Well, yes. I don't think it wasn't
just a trade.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joel Embiid out for
you can't
unknown.
Let me have nothing, Wild.
I'm out of time.
It's going to be amazing.
Big W. MRI revealed a meniscus injury to his left knee. Kuminga fell on Embiid in Golden State. This after Embiid had missed games in Portland and Denver, which he was roundly criticized for. That criticism unfair, according to LeBron. Where are all the media outlets, TV media personalities, hot takes that talk so much poop emoji about Joel Embiid missing those games when he knew what he was dealing with? Now he's out with an injury because of it. Not one person has gone back on TV or their dumbass podcast.
Wow.
I love that part. And apologize to that man. No accountability. Now, two things. One, his knee was flaring up, which is why he said, but Kuminga did fall on his knee. And two, don't forget that the league fined the Sixers $75,000 for not putting him on the injury report, and he hadn't played in Denver since 2019. That's where the criticism came from, but LeBron is fired up about the criticism.
Yeah, he should mention the league in there too, because like you said, they fined him $75,000. And we hate that Embiid's hurt. All right, no question about that. So, but LeBron should look at the league, all right, and the Sixers, okay? The Sixers, if indeed they knew he was hurt, they didn't put him on the injury report, but they knew now there's reports out that he's been dealing with this all year. If the Sixers knew that Embiid was hurt, and he knew he was hurt and shouldn't be playing, the Sixers should have protected him from himself. Even if he was thinking, either I'm getting criticized, so I want to play, or I want to get to my 65 games, so I want to play. They should have saved him from himself, or Joel has to be stronger than to react to media criticism. So if he was only going out there to play because, oh, man, they're killing me because I'm not playing against – I didn't play against Joker again – he's got to be stronger than that. So I would just say to LeBron, first look at the league, then look at the Sixers, and Embiid has to be stronger enough to not react to what the media are saying about
him. All right. I must admit, I'm a little confused. Here's why I'm confused. So we've referenced this before, I'll reference it again. Anthony Davis, the year the Lakers are the defending champs, first round against Phoenix. He hurts his groin.
in the playoff series. Chuck starts calling him street clothes. He, you know what I mean? He then is like, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Starts a game, can't move.
No. Right.
You know what I mean? It was ridiculous. That was a clear, and he could have made it worse. The only reason he didn't was because they pulled him out so quickly. I'm not a doctor, but are we saying that if Joel Embiid was fully healthy, that Kuminga falling on his knee like that, he would have been fine? I guess I'm saying this feels to me like an odd coincidence.
Yeah.
That Joel Embiid was playing maybe through some pain he normally wouldn't, either because of the criticism or because he really wanted the MVP or because he's like, you know what, this year I'm going to fight right. through it for whatever the reason was. And while that was going on,
right.
he's on the ground and somebody falls right on his leg.
Yeah.
If one of the internet doctors can tell me no, because he's hurt, it made it more susceptible.
And he was clearly, before that happened, if you watch some of the game, his knee, it buckled. One time he was just running under the basket and it actually buckled. So he was clearly hurting.
He was clearly trying to play through pain. Now, whatever the reasoning was, whether it was for his own reasoning, peer pressure, media pressure, awards, whatever. But he got hurt because a dude fell on him. And so I understand LeBron's general frustration. To me, what this tweet could have made more sense applied to is potentially Tyrese Halliburton in a different regard, which is we put in this rule about 65 games for the All-NBA team while also having Tyrese Halliburton's contract can go from $200 million to $240 million if he makes the All-NBA team. We did the 65 games to avoid load management. Tyrese has a real injury. Should that injury cost him $40 million? That seems a little unfair, but I don't totally understand this part, to be honest with us.
And you don't think Tyrese will just start checking into games?
I think that'll probably cost him the All-NBA team anyway. You know what I mean?
Because of the statistics.
Yeah.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Wow. Look, Brew, look.
Coming up next, it's the hottest segment of all of sports. It's Upset Alert.
Why can't I... Brew is over the playoffs in Upset Alert.
Check in on the GOAT coach. When he left Foxborough, there were 7 jobs open for Bill Belichick, and now there's 0. 2 interviews in Atlanta, some interest in Washington, some jobs he didn't want. But the bottom line is Belichick wanted a job and he didn't get one. That settles the GOAT debate for the Ravens' Marlon Humphrey. The greatest coach of all time did not get hired out of 6 head coaching jobs open. I think that debate can be put to rest now. Maybe. Your reaction, Nick?
I mean, it doesn't help. And I don't think that's deniable. He wants to keep coaching. Nobody wanted him this time around. If he never gets another job, it will not help him in the greatest coach of all time discussion, which I don't. He wanted the Shula record for a reason, right? Like he's the one that wants that record. It's very clear. So the question I would ask you is this. What if he doesn't finish with the most wins of his own era? Like, who is the greatest coach of all time? Is it if it's not Belichick? Is it Lombardi? Is it Shula? Is it Walsh? For one of those, if one of Bill's, because we can show you, and this is not me arguing Andy Reid's going to be the GOAT coach. This is me showing you this to show you Andy Reid as far as the wins.
It kind of is.
No. It's to show, it's really not, though, because it's to show you he's closer than you think on the win stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
He's 6 playoff wins shy of Bill, which I think will shock people. He's 44 regular season wins away, which means 4 seasons. Like, do we think Andy's going to coach 4 more seasons? If he does coach and Bill doesn't coach again, Andy's going to pass him in that stuff.
But now, but I think most people look at it, the Super Bowls.
I understand.
If he gets close.
I do think that him wanting to coach and no one wanting to hire him is an interesting wrinkle in this discussion, and I didn't see it coming. I thought teams would fire their coach to hire him.
I'm not really sure what Marlon Humphrey's axe to grind is. And when you look at it, so Marlon Humphrey's played in 6 playoff games. Bill's won 6 Super Bowls. He's been to 9 Super Bowls. He won 2 Super Bowls as a coordinator, went to another Super Bowl. So what's that? What do we got? 8 Super Bowl wins.
And yeah, 12 appearances.
And we just keep adding him up. And I think that the danger that you get into when you take this approach is, okay, so if you're saying that it's only the quarterback, so what's Marlon Humphrey saying about his quarterback? Saying his quarterback's not very good? What's Marlon Humphrey saying about his head coach? Saying his head coach is not very good? What's Marlon Humphrey saying about his contribution to the overall team? Because if it's just the quarterback, then Marlon Humphrey's contribution couldn't have been very, very good. I think Bill wanted to continue coaching. Want to know why? Because he's coached for 49 consecutive years, which is the most by any coach in the history of the NFL. This is what he knows, and so he wanted to continue doing what he's doing, but he's going to be 72 years old, and he comes with a lot of you're going to have to succeed or give up a lot of power. So it's not an easy package to just fit into your organization. So to make this big, grand declaration about him not being in the greatest of all time, and I know Andy's approaching it, but we'll see.
I'm going to take a stab at what Marlon Humphrey's axe to grind might be. I think there are players around the league. We all know that people have talked about how in New England under Belichick, it wasn't fun. All right, that's one.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Okay, so there's that. Secondly, Belichick getting rid of players earlier. You know, rather than paying guys who'd helped him win Super Bowls, he got rid of them early before he had to pay them. And then the cheating scandals. So I think players may, or and I'm not saying all of them, but some guys look at that. That's all. I don't know what else Marlon Humphrey could be referring to, but he doesn't like that. And so, like you said, he's latching on to, oh, Belichick, not even 500 without Brady. And, Nick, I think for the legacy piece, I think Belichick has an out. I get it if he's not hired, but he's 72, as Coach said, or about to be 72 in April. That's an out. Like, that's not only an out for a team to say, man, we didn't hire Belichick because of his age. It is an out for him because he can say, or, you know, if you get in an argument about it, you can say he's 72. Nobody's going to hire a guy 72 years old to lead their team long term. So I think that's an out for him in the GOAT debate. If it ever comes to that.
I could see that. Seattle hired the youngest coach of all.
If he was 52, it'd be a whole different ball game. Then it's like, oh, wow, they don't want Belichick.
Well, shouts at Vrabel.
I guess the point that I would make is Andy Reid's not a young coach. Andy Reid's been a head coach in this league for 25 years.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was a head coach in this league for 29 years. If they end up with the similar wins resume, say Belichick has one more Super Bowl than him. And it's like when Andy Reid was in his golden years, he was considered the best coach in football. While Andy was considered the best coach in football, no team would hire Bill. That is going to be somewhere on the
scale.
Are
we ever
going
to talk about head-to-head?
What? Nah.
Oh, okay.
49ers.
Live from New York, it's the show that still thinks Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. It's the second hour of First Things First. I speak for the show.
Today, the Lakers win.
But was this somehow a bad look for LeBron and AD? They did play very spirited.
They really did.
Not the Celtics. Meanwhile, Big Show is coming on the show next week, and he's talking about his future with the Bucks. We'll try to get through that segment with no mentions of Kyle Trask. But right now, it's time for a segment so hot that my grandma started watching it again after dry January. It's upset alert. Chiefs underdogs yet again. What?
Nothing. I'm curious how we're going to do this.
I'm just going to talk about, go ahead and talk about my Chiefs. The line has moved to 2.5, which is disrespectful and bodes poorly for San Francisco. Mahomes has an underdog career in his career, including the playoffs. He's 9-3 and he's 1-1 against the spread. Yards, 320s, 36 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions.
So he's better as an underdog than as a favorite.
Yes, it's very strange. Now, Broussard, I'm not going to ask you for your take here because we have all of next week. I am going to ask for an update on where you are in your take.
This is a tough one. I will say this. I'm surprised the Niners are favored. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs should be favored. But I am finding ammunition for both teams. I'm deep in study.
It's not a lot. Do you have a cough or something? Because you don't feel, you sound a little raspy.
No, because I'm trying to figure out.
He's been staying up late studying.
I'm really torn.
His voice.
Wild. Don't assume wild. One way Wait, or the okay, other. Because I'm really, I still
Brew,
have a week.
I'm going to assume.
What are you assuming?
I'm assuming that after all year, talking about.
Well, I haven't picked either one of these teams
please,
to win the Super Bowl. So, there's no flip flop. My teams are out.
Brew,
Please allow me to finish. After all year talking about what was wrong with the Chiefs, mm-hmm. how they might be wasting Patrick Mahomes, picking against them in round two, picking against them in round three, you are five times bitten, six times shy. And now you want to pick the Chiefs.
No,
you
I want to finally have the safety
and the comfort of knowing that the team that all year long someone told you, they have arguably the best defense in football and inarguably the best quarterback in football, they probably shouldn't be considered. And also ran. And so, yeah, of course, they played like it.
Okay. But I don't know where I'm at yet. We'll figure it out. I got a lot of information flying around. The Niners
are on upset alert. And the line to me just is almost Vegas and the betting public's priors going into the postseason about both of these teams. Because while the regular season does matter, I'm curious where you stand on it. I am much more interested, barring major health concerns on either side of the ball, how have you looked in this postseason? And the Chiefs have, you rolled your eyes at it when I said it the other day. It's not my number. According to DVOA, those, you know, smart football stats, the hardest path of playoff opponents since they've started doing it in 1981.
I'm going to roll my eyes
again. That's fine. I'm telling you that's what they've said. And the Chiefs, in my opinion, have looked excellent in all three playoff games in adverse circumstances. The Niners have been at home against a 7 seed, the youngest team in the league, and a Lions team in its first conference championship game in, what, 40 years for the franchise. And they looked fits and starts throughout the game. So I think based on how they've looked the last month, Kansas City should be the regular season
Niners, but
I don't know if it's purely playoff opponents. You did face the mass unit of the Buffalo Bills, and Miami was pretty beat up too. Baltimore, that was a much more impressive win, although he didn't score in the second half. So there's those things that go into it where I do think the path was a little bit easier than it could have been. But when you look collectively, you've got the more experienced head coach.
Yeah.
You've got the better quarterback. You've got the better kicker. And I do think this game could come down to a field goal with a rookie kicker versus what Kansas City has.
Who's been shaky.
And it surprises me that San Francisco is favored. It doesn't make any sense. It should be the upset alert the other way as opposed to the way we're talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, here's the thing about upset alert.
Yeah.
Before I got on the show, it was literal.
Uh-huh.
Upset alert.
Yes.
Yeah. Should you be on?
Then I got hot.
I kind of took, was it you? I took it to another level when I just start calling outright wins.
Yeah. And
they're
then,
not only going to put them on alert, they're going to win.
That's wild. Just
I'm
real,
going back to the original.
Okay.
Yes, they should be on alert.
Okay, that's fine. But also, just to set the record straight historically, Wilds was the Punxsutawney Phil of football because he got four outright winners of huge, like massive dogs in the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. He then let it go to his head, got cowardly with his picks.
The disease of Moore.
Exactly. And since then, he has not gotten any of them right.
Oh, you, really? Did I call you, Chiefs over Bills?
Okay, hold on. You, Brew, had an unprecedented
run.
You got 10 out of 16 correct in the regular season.
That was hot.
You then let it go to your head, and in the wild card round, divisional round, and conference championship round, all three times said there would be no upsets, even though literally half of the playoff games this year have been upsets.
So now,
you're our only hope for upset alert. They've both befouled themselves with it.
What are you talking about?
So, Wilds, you're out. You're not even on the graphic anymore. Brew seeded the ground.
I'm holding on.
It's coaches are
on Groundhog Day. You're going to do this. Today?
Sorry, buddy.
That is a very
27-20 Chiefs. It's pretty obvious. That's my
27-20.
That's my pencil pick. Okay. I'm going to break out the Sharpie pick next week. 27-20 Chiefs. Right. I'm just shocked that they're underdogs.
I
thought that the power of Mahomes would trump everything. And here's the one thing.
And the way the Niners have looked, they haven't looked great.
Yeah. You ready to make a pick or not?
No. Okay, I got a whole week.
I thought the floor was mine, but you want to get your Chiefs take into mine.
No,
the question I had for you, Coach, was the thing that made me super confident in the Chiefs was when Andy Reid started to talk about their plan between the AFC Conference Championship game and the Super Bowl. He's like, yeah, we're going to have a few days off and then have a little bit of practice like we've done it before. So the fact that Andy Reid has an actual, like, routine for the Super Bowl where Shanahan, I don't know what they've got.
Well, yeah. When we went to that streak of Super Bowls, it became so much more comfortable. You understood how to prepare the week before. You understood how to deal with friends and family. You understood how to handle the week of the Super Bowl, which is very unique. And then even the game itself, it's a much longer pregame. It's a much longer halftime. When you're not experiencing that stuff for the first time, especially at those key positions, it's a huge edge because you can burn yourself out before the game. You can burn yourself out at halftime. And when you understand what's coming and how it unfolds, it's a totally different feeling than when we were there the first time. And as much as Bill was trying to say, hey, this is how it's going to be, until you go through it, it's hard to comprehend.
Brew, when are you going to be ready?
Check mark on the side of the Chiefs.
I'm doing glad you're keeping that.
Right.
And the Chiefs are holding.
I went past the office. There was just one light on. Yeah. It was just Brew. Jed York met with the media yesterday and talked about the moment Shanahan broke the news that their Trey Lance draft strategy not working out as planned. Turns out, Brew, Brock was the guy. Take a listen.
Right. He grabs me after practice. He's like, hey man, we got to talk. And that's generally not a good thing when your coach tells you you got to talk. Like, all right, what's up? And he's like, I think our third string quarterback's our best quarterback. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, well, he's like, obviously, like, we've invested in Trey. Like, Trey's doing a good job. Like, we're going to do everything that we can. We're not going to change that. And we're not going to change the chart, the depth chart. But, like, I think Brock will end up being our quarterback at some point.
Mm. Yeah, I don't believe him.
Oh.
You think he's outright
making
something up?
Why would you not believe him?
Because we know what they then did. It's not about Trey Lance. I totally believe that maybe Shanahan liked Brock Purdy more than Trey Lance. That I absolutely believe. But what Jed York is trying to sell us a bill of goods on is that Kyle Shanahan, last preseason or training camp, believed Brock Purdy could be their best quarterback. So then why, after literally locking him out of the building, did you re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo and then, when Trey Lance went down, play Jimmy Garoppolo? And then, when Jimmy Garoppolo had a really rough stretch, including the self-safety that we laughed at, the fumble, the pick six, all in one game, in back-to-back losses, not then be like, you know what? This quarterback that I think is awesome all along is sitting right there.
Already.
So I don't believe, I want to be very clear, I do not believe that. I believe that he liked him more than Trey. That I believe. I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan went to Jed York and said, our third string quarterback's our best guy. And then 2 weeks later when the starter went down, he's like, but by the way, still won't play him. And then a month later when Jimmy Garoppolo was going full Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle was like, don't worry, I have a plan. Still not playing him. It doesn't make sense.
No, so you have a good football team and you've drafted a guy with the last pick in the draft and you're watching it at practice and it's unfolding the way it's unfolding, and then you've got to go explain to the owner that this guy that you paid $25 million over the last 2 years and you gave him three first round draft picks isn't developing the way you want to, and Jimmy G, you know, has been Jimmy G. He's explaining that now. He's setting that up. But you're still looking at it as Jimmy G has won for us, and now we can get him back at a discount. So that makes sense. You don't want to go off of Trey because you've invested so much in him. So even though your eyes are telling you one thing, you still have to get past the fact of where you drafted the guy. The guy is a rookie. You have a good team. You probably have a better chance to win with a veteran than you do with a rookie. And I think he was setting it up if he had to go to it, but also trying ways to navigate through that.
Yeah, I'm with Coach on this. I think it's very plausible that this is what happened. And when we know that Trey Lance was injured, so didn't get much time with this team, all right, as far as starting games. But he did start three, and here are the numbers for his three starts where he finished the game and Purdy's first three starts. My point, obviously, Purdy's numbers are way better. My point is, if we say, well, Trey, he had to get used to the offense and everything, same thing with Purdy. Like, they both, this is when Purdy had no, you know, wasn't used to the offense, was stepping in to a tough situation with the injuries. First game, my first start was Kansas City, actually. No, that was the first game he got in his reserve.
Christian McCaffrey was the first, and they got blown out. His first start was against Tom Brady, right?
Wasn't it? Tampa Bay. Yeah. So I'm just saying, Purdy showed right away that he could play. And Trey didn't, so that makes sense to me.
That's fine, but none of that explains the Jimmy Garoppolo 2 months of their season.
Well, like you said, they knew they could win with Garoppolo.
They had one with him, and they had a team that they felt like could still win. And when you're playing a rookie, there's going to be growing pains. Typically, there's a lot more growing pains than what he's shown.
This felt a lot, and I love the guy, but a lot like LeBron being like, hey, you know, I saw this before anybody else type of thing. That's what it felt like to me, that Jed York
like, hey, I got to tell the owner I blew this gigantic investment we just made, so I better give it to him in little chunks.
But, okay. No shots at LeBron in the show.
Lake Show went into Boston without AD and LeBron and rolled the Celtics, who are great at home but have lost 3 out of their last 5 at home. Also, there were rumblings that LeBron could/should ask for a trade, which Rich Paul deaded today, saying, LeBron won't be traded and we aren't asking for a trade. That's the end of that. So, Brew, who did this game look worse for? The Celtics, who were never really in this game, or the Lakers, who won without AD and LeBron?
Well, I don't think it looked bad for either. Obviously, the Celtics were expected to win. It was only their third loss in 25 games at home. They obviously took the Lakers lightly, came out there, found out themselves in the game, and really could never get a rhythm to win the game. And a lot of times when I played in college and a star was out, because I was like a role player, you're excited. Like, oh, I'm getting more shots.
Yeah. Austin Reeves was excited.
Right. So the Lakers came out and played better. For LeBron and AD, I don't think it makes them look bad, but this is what this is the moral of that game. As I've been saying, I don't think the Lakers supporting cast is that bad. I think it's good. I think the Lakers, I won't say their biggest problem because these are their two best players, but your best player, AD, at this point, is not an alpha, and he's got a number one game but not a number one mentality. And then your other best player, LeBron, is 39. And even though he's the best 39-year-old we've ever seen, at that age, you can't give it all up on defense. What made LeBron great, people are looking at his numbers, Nick, like, these are his career numbers, 25, 7, and 7. He's not close to what he used to be because he used to wreak havoc defensively. And at times, even, he would just be like, I'm taking Derrick Rose and locking him up or whatever. He can't do that anymore. So their two best players just aren't going to lead him.
So it should be noted, oddly, and this doesn't really pass the eye test, but it is true, that the perimeter defender who's holding opponents to the lowest field goal percentage of the entire league is LeBron, which speaks to the fact that I actually think he can, in spurts, get to an elite defensive level. And I think you saw it oddly. Yeah, I think you saw it in the in-season tournament final. And I think that you saw it last year at times in the playoffs, that there's a lot of reasons 39-year-old LeBron is not prime LeBron. And the most notable is not just the defensive side of things. Prime LeBron was the greatest physical athlete I had ever seen in the league. This is not a LeBron Jordan thing or whatever, just the size, speed, strength. It was unbelievable. And he's not that level of athlete anymore. There's a lot of things. He doesn't have the energy. He can't play as many minutes. All of it. I don't think, though, this looked bad for LeBron and AD. I don't think LeBron or AD have taken shots at their teammates. Certainly not AD. I didn't look at LeBron's hourglass thing as shots at the teammates. LeBron has not this year done the, remember when he was with the Cavs and he said on the record, we need a bleeping playmaker? Or when he was
Top heavy.
He said we're top heavy as hell. Or the openly pining for Kyrie Irving to be traded to the team. I think LeBron doesn't like the coach. Now, you can say that's unfair, or anyone can say that's unfair. I don't think LeBron has taken shots at his teammates publicly at all. Not even like the subtle passive aggressive ones, unless you read the hourglass emoji as that, and that's not how I read it. Mm-hmm. I read it as patience running thin on Darvin Ham. I think this looks worse for the Celtics.
There we go.
The Celtics were 20, and people say they're really good at home. Well, they had been. They were 20-0 at home, 20-0. And now they've lost 3 of 5
at home. And I understand coming out kind of sleepy, overlook an opponent. You were 15-point favorites. Did the Celtics have, yet last night, the five best players in the game? Was the Celtics starting five?
Probably.
I mean,
close.
Yeah, I mean, right? Exactly, yeah. Brown, Tatum, Porzingis, Drew, Derek White.
Yeah.
That's the five best players in the game. You're not supposed to lose. And it's hard for me to believe, Wilds, that the Boston Celtics playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the Boston Garden on national television is a game you don't come out ready for, yet that's what happened. So I think the answer is the Celtics side of things by far.
What would you need to see, Brew? Because I understand I listened to Tatum, and Tatum was kind of just nonchalant, saying like, ah, it's a bad day at work. You guys have bad day at work. And you're either taking that glass half full as he's 100% right, glass half empty, this is canary in the coal mine, that this team has some fundamental issues of just being very nice team, but maybe not a championship intensity. And I'll just throw it to another game that kind of threw me off. Okay. The reason I think of that, when the Pistons were on their long losing streak, they went into Boston and forced overtime that Tatum, I think, came alive in overtime and they won. I'm like, man, you guys aren't just stomping on the Pistons? Feels like you're looking for times to take a breath. And maybe it's normal or maybe you're not a championship squad.
I know it's better TV if we come on here after every game. Yeah. How in the world did they lose? Look, the elite teams in the league are going to lose between 20 and 30 games in the regular season.
Sure.
All right, so this is not a big deal. Now, I will say this. There is no excuse for the Celtics not to at least get to the finals this year. Oh. Philadelphia with Embiid, we don't know where that stands. Milwaukee's looking, you know, they
Milwaukee went into Portland and lost.
they got a new coach. They got their issues. And, you know, the Knicks, Miami, Cleveland, like, there's no excuse for the Celtics this year not to get to the finals.
Except, you know what the excuse is and probably will be? The Miami Heat exists.
No, Miami's going to be.
They are?
They got more talent than Miami. Yeah. Miami's going to be tough because they're just so tough.
When are they going to start?
I think Rozier, they're
when
just
are they going to start?
Yeah.
When the playoffs start.
Okay.
Yeah, just like. Look at what I did.
Next week.
Look, oh, yeah, just call it the Nick Wright
in
guest booking
minutes.
Service.
In
it's actually Kier. Shout out to Kier, but it's my guys.
Fantastic.
Wednesday and Friday. And we'll have more surprise guests coming up, too.
Exactly.
We don't have them booked yet, but we're just hoping.
Yeah.
Medals time. Chris
Brew's
going to
get us contract.
Jared.
Yeah, who?
Kyle Trask.
I bet we could.
Easily. I bet we could, too.
I like Kyle Trask. We should get Kyle Trask.
No, we shouldn't.
Yes. Okay. Cavs won. They're 9-1 in the last. No one's talking about the Cavs.
Bronze
medal. You have a TV show. Talk about them. You're the leader of the show. Bronze medal. Austin Reeves, 32 points, putting it on the Celtics. A lot of Celtics fans were watching that being like, man, I like Austin Reeves.
Silver medal.
Jalen Brunson. 40 points. A heartfelt post-game interview. I read that sincerely happy for the guy. Gold medal. Tyrese Maxey with a career high 51. There's the medal stand from last night in the
Big Show. Said contract talks are going to pick up now that the Bucks have decided on Liam Cohen as their offensive coordinator. Brew, we've got the Big Show on the show next week. Do you want to do the interview, or we can fire up that other camera on the fourth floor and you can interview Kyle Trask? It's your choice.
We can do it together.
Look at what's on the bottom line,
Brew. Also, will you apologize for not believing in the Big Show?
No, I'm going to tell him, though, that I was a skeptic and he proved me wrong.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, yeah. Give him his love.
I, in total sincerity, and it's not just because he's coming on the show, I find it fascinating how likable he seems to be amongst other NFL guys.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised charisma, that it fell apart in Cleveland. It seemed like, you know, they had tired of him.
Because
before that, it seemed like it was.
And, but like at the event last night, whether it was him making fun of himself saying the last pass I threw was to Detroit or everything that he said, I thought
Derek Barnes.
Thank you.
He feels, I mean, I know confidence has always been his thing. He feels even more confident to the point where you can be like self-deprecating. That's what I took from the Derek Barnes thing and the Amon Ross St. Brown. Like, you made fun of me. It's all good. Like, I'm the bake show.
Yeah. Right.
That was great.
Bro, so. I don't think you should apologize. I just think you should wear the jersey for the interview.
That's good. And not mention it.
Yeah,
someone's got to wear the jersey.
Really?
You can't expense it.
You just have it here.
Speak is up next. We'll see you Monday at 3 o'clock. Have a great weekend.